Welcome to Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news, trends, and hottest topics that focus on advances in cybersecurity and cyber industry economics. Our expert yet down-to-earth hosts make cybersecurity straightforward. They ask the tough questions and make this challenging topic something that everyone can understand. Our candid approach lets guests open up on topics we would all like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at newcyberfrontier.com. That's www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join today's host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Welcome back, everyone, to the New Cyber Frontier. My name is Sean Murray. I'll be the host this afternoon. We have a very special, honorable guest, Richard Greenberg, all the way out from Los Angeles. Richard is an ISSA, Information Systems Security Association, Honor Roll and Distinguished Fellow. He is also on the OWASP Global Board of Directors. We'll talk a little bit more about that. He's the president of the local ISSA Los Angeles chapter, president of the LA OWASP chapter, and he is also the founder and CEO of Security Advisors LLC, based out of Los Angeles. Welcome to our show today, Richard.
Hey, thank you very much, and you handled that very long intro beautifully.
Thank you. I try a little bit. But, you know, in all seriousness, the contributions you've made to the industry and to the profession, and it just continue to amaze people like me. You know, we look up you, not just a peer, but somebody who's also a visionary and a leader. You know, we've had lots of great conversations over the years. And, you know, last year when we were at Black Hat, I didn't realize what you were doing with OWASP. So how about you give us a little bit about your background, and then we'll continue the conversation.
Sure. I had one of those long, circuitous voyages to arrive where I am today. A lot of people of the, I would say, the older generation, for lack of a better term, have had similar types of backgrounds where they're not coming out of school with an MIS degree and moving into security. I actually started as an architect. I'm not talking about an IT architect. I'm talking about the kinds that do, you know, buildings. I was a project manager for several years, worked on a big project for JPL, and in some hospitals, Euro Disney. And I enjoyed myself for a while, but then as the computer industry was taken off and becoming everywhere, the famous ubiquitous word, I have to throw that in, right?
Right.
And they needed people. They didn't want to hire, in their words, and these are their words, geeks. They wanted architects. So I was drafted to learn more about IT. To speed up this story, I became IT director for architecture firms, then moved into a more generic space, and then eventually made my way into security because of the importance of security back in the late 90s, and I felt that I needed to learn more about it. So I studied up, got my CISSP, and took on more and more responsibilities. And then when HIPAA legislation kicked in, I was officially given the title of CISO. That's bringing me up to today, where I'm a former CISO, haven't put in my 15 years. And I'm looking to just continue to give back to the community in my not-for-profit roles, as well as, you know, working with organizations, as my company provides vulnerability and penetration testing for companies.
Well, so I mean, security back in the dot-com boom era, right? So all of a sudden, the internet is exploding, and we have all this automation happening. To have somebody think of you know, the foresight back then of having a requirement or understanding that, you know, IT enabled requires security. Great introduction. We will be right back after this message. Our guest today is all the way from OWASP. We've got Richard Greenberg, all the way out from Los Angeles. We'll be right back after this message.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Welcome back, Sean Murray, New Cyber Frontier. We have Richard Greenberg, the Los Angeles ISSA chapter president, OWASP chapter president, OWASP board of directors on with us. You know, colorful beginning, usually in a not so traditional role or an industry. Transitioned over to information technology and at some point wanted to become more savvy on the information security, which we now have rebranded as a cybersecurity, the new sexy term. Got your CISSP, which is no small, you know, endeavor. What is it that you're doing today, Rich?
Before I go into that, just wanted to quickly touch on something you just said. Two things. One, I cannot stress enough for everyone listening, if you haven't already done this, please continue to push and stretch your envelopes, get out of your comfort zone. I certainly have when I changed careers and jobs a few times. Put yourself into uncomfortable situations because you will not believe what you are capable of until you do it. Too many people are afraid of failure. And our entire country was built on failure. People learn more from failing than succeeding, and they get better and better and better. And so, you know, I'm on my soapbox just to say that I cannot stress that enough. All right, and I wanted to make that.
I think that's a good point. That's where experience comes from, right?
Yeah, I'm telling you, there's nothing as rewarding as failing and then succeeding. Pushing yourself past those limits that you self-impose quite often. So now, as far as what I'm doing now, thanks for allowing me to get that message out, by the way.
Sure.
As I mentioned, my company does assessments, vulnerability scanning, penetration testing for companies. And we're very, very excited of some of the techniques that we've incorporated and to get these out to people. So that's keeping me busy. But my passion also is to continue my work for the not-for-profits because if you look at who we are as people, right, we can elect to just be chasing the almighty dollar or the yen or whatever your choice is. Or we can choose to be complete people. And part of being complete people is to be of this earth, of this society, and to give back and to help others, right? At ISSA and OWASP, I'm running both these chapters here with the help of incredible fellow board members. And we have speakers each month. We have great networking. There's so many times when I first got into this where I started to get tools, techniques, solutions, cautionary tales from my fellow attendees that I brought back to work and was actually able to implement. And I can't tell you how valuable that is. Because we can get all the training we want. We can talk to everyone where we work. But that is so myopic when you think about all the different ways and techniques and threats that we deal with on a regular basis. You learn, there's no comparison with the knowledge that's out there in our community versus our everyday life. And so I want to expand that for everybody who attends our meetings. And, you know, ultimately, the more of the practitioners that have more experience, the safer we'll all be, because it's, we're all interrelated now. We don't have to have a business-to-business relationship with a company for us to be related, right? Because once a company is breached or hacked, my data's there. They can then take that data and potentially, you know, twist it into some other areas. Hopefully everyone listening has different passwords for every site, but you know that's not true, unless you're using a keeper, right? A password keeper. But more than that, it's just the awareness and then helping each other to overcome what is clearly becoming more and more of an organized, massive hacking empire, right? They share tools, they share techniques, they share databases. You know, they'll sell you something and say you got a year maintenance on your on this hacking tool. So it's a multi-billion dollar industry that we're up against, and no one company can deal with that.
Yeah, some really good points. And, you know, to your point on the contribution piece, you know, when I introduced you, you know, all of these accolades, you know, distinguished fellow, honor roll, the background, you know, I had a conversation earlier today, and when somebody was asking me, you know, why are you doing the things you're doing today? And it really is when you've reached the level in our profession, it's time to give back. And so a nonprofit like ISSA, you know, I'm associated with ISU Square in our local chapter here, our Small Business Development Center here. It's those contributions we provide back to the community to help solve those problems. When you have, when you've had a rewarding career, I'm not building my resume anymore. I'm trying to help build somebody else's resume and provide, you know, some of those capabilities back. And I think one of the things you and I have some synergy with is our belief in we have an obligation to give back to the communities, whatever that passion may be. But you know, it shouldn't be about the almighty dollar all the time. And that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I would rather be able to spend my year attending these local meetings, hanging out with my friends, because they're now all friends, than having the Tesla. You know, I made that job. The time I spend running these not-for-profits, I could be spending more, making more money, but then I'd be one-dimensional,
yeah,
right? So I feel that, you know, that makes me more of a complete person.
You know, we talk about ISSA, and we do a lot on the show. So, you know, your contributions to ISSA are significant. Let's take a look at OWASP. So, you know, this is one of those areas that, you know, we got the OWASP top 10, where, you know, secure web app development. There are principles that you can call it a framework, you can talk about OWASP, but a lot of, we don't get enough attention in this area. And one of the things I didn't know is you had OWASP chapters, and, you know, we were talking last year at Black Hat, and, you know, you had some really good topics that you introduced that, you know, who knew? And so this is that opportunity during, you know, this this podcast. What do you want to contribute? What do you want to let the world know about OWASP?
Well, the first thing is, let me just step back a moment, because you and I are very familiar with what OWASP can offer, but I'm not convinced that a lot of people are, right? One of the things that I notice is whenever I see presentations about the challenges that CISOs face, right? Typically you see hackers, denial of service, spyware, malware, ransomware, right? The expanding attack surface, all the new regulations that are coming out, security awareness, lack of trained personnel. Where the hell is layer 7 in all this discussion? I mean, do you have to look deep to understand that the vast majority of hacks are coming in through layer 7? Software security is the key. to what we're dealing with today. How you get in there, yes, through ransomware, things of that nature, that's important. But are companies spending the time to ensure that security is baked into the whole SDLC, right? Not just in production, but build and runtime and throughout all the stages, right? There's really a need for companies to shift left, right? Bringing developers and DevOps into the security strategy. What about third-party risk? I've talked to some CISOs and they go, well, we don't develop our own stuff. I said, yes, but don't you have a responsibility for evaluating the companies that hold your data? Do you look at their apps or do you just trust them, right? We know better. Trust but verify, right? So if you don't know how to assess applications or what goes into them or what frameworks are all about, then you're trusting your stuff to potentially non-qualified companies. Right now, OWASP, it's an amazing organization. I mean, you know, I'm a great proponent of both ISA and OWASP. One of the differences with OWASP, the passion there is off the charts. I mean, these people, we've got worldwide folks. There's projects that people on their own just decide, I'm going to build this project. And it's turned into tools that we can all use, such as the OWASP Top 10. There's currently 146 projects to use. It's all open source. It's available for every single company. If you just use the OWASP tools, you can help secure your environment and have a strategy in place for developing in a correct, secure environment. You also have tools that will help you assess, right? We talked about the OWASP Top 10, right, which evaluates the critical security risks, right? OWASP Zap has been out for quite some time. It's an open source penetration testing tool. Those can be quite expensive if you're paying for it. There's the ASVS, which is the Application Security Verification Standard. And that gives you a whole framework, right? How can you test your web application and software security controls? And it gives developers a whole lot of requirements for secure development.
You know, this is a great conversation, and we're going to come right back after this break. We're talking to Richard Greenberg from the Los Angeles OWASP chapter, ISSA chapter. We're going to come right back and continue that discussion with Richard right after this break. Security Services are your cybersecurity experts with decades of experience providing professional training services for our clients in various industries. We offer professional training and certification in areas of cybersecurity, safety, health, and environmental services at our academy. Our in-person and online training provides a collaborative environment where students can interact directly with instructors through live chats or in private classrooms. Visit MurraySecurityServices.com for more information. Welcome back, everyone. This is Sean Murray with the New Cyber Frontier. We're talking to Richard Greenberg from Security Advisors LLC, founder and CEO out of Los Angeles, also large contributors. He's the local chapter president in Los Angeles for the Information Systems Security Association and the OWASP chapter there as well. Richard, you were talking about the various tool sets that are available to developers and to consumers for web application development. Why don't you continue on with what are the additional, how many projects did you say are going on?
There are 146 projects that can be used by anybody. And when I use the term projects, it's really tools, guidelines, cheat sheets, right? I mean, there's a whole series of cheat sheets, for example, that can focus on best practices that developers and application folks can use. And they'll actually be able to implement immediately by using these. There is a couple of great developed projects that allow a user to work in an intentionally unsafe, malicious place to learn about how to secure it, right?
And so, it's like a cyber range where you can actually test the applications to see what they do and to include the intent on malware?
You can look in and see how it's insecure, learn what you can do to remediate, and this is really helpful to developers.
And this is all at no cost, all open source?
It's all required to be open source.
That's awesome.
There are a few companies that have taken some of this and hyped it up with all kinds of additional things that you might want to pay for, but the core stuff that we develop is open source, free for everybody. Again, there's people are very passionate about this. There's a history of would I say arguments or heated discussions about this, because a lot of people want to have their company, you know, working with OWASP, but we insist that these things remain out and about for everybody to use. So, you know, if you don't do development yourself, but you've got a team or where you work, or if you know other folks, just tell them to take a look at OWASP. There's local chapters around the globe, not necessarily in the same cities as ISSA, but any major international city is going to have one. There are conferences each year, a variety of OWASP-supported conferences. The AppSec Dublin is scheduled, I'd say that with a bit of trepidation, scheduled for June, but with what we're seeing going on right now in the world and all the cancellations of gatherings, I wouldn't be surprised if that's postponed for a later date.
Sure. Yeah, Well, your event there in LA has been postponed.
Yeah, we like to use postpone because we have all intention of kicking it back up and having a great lineup of speakers for our 3-day conference. But OWASP has great training at their conferences as well. 2- and 3-day training, a variety of subjects. The cost is really quite affordable. And you're getting to interact with the experts from around the world. Another example of the OWASP conferences is what we call AppSec California, which is 7 OWASP chapters from around the whole West Coast in California gather together to put this on. And we luckily got that in before the world became a crazy place. That was in January. That conference is actually on the beach. So for those of you who are a little bit further north than where we are today, you might want to put that on your calendar for next January. We might have to adjust the date because I'm understanding that RSA has backed their conference up to the second week of February.
Okay.
So we do want to stay clear of that. But it's great to spend the winter on the beach out in California, listening to your peers and security experts and has having a grand old time.
Oh, yeah. It's all about the venue, right?
I know. So, you know, a lot of it is. But, of course, you know, you want great content.
Right.
We've heard a lot about the larger conferences these days are maybe losing their way a little bit with some of the content. I can't speak to that, but I just passed along a lot of the discussions that are out there. But a lot of time and effort goes into selecting the talks for both the conferences that I'm involved in, the ISSA Security Summit and AppSec California.
Yeah, a lot going out there on the West Coast anyway. I mean, between RSA, the events coming out of Silicon Valley, there's a lot of CISO or executive type events and meetups. OWASP in the contributions there. So let's go back to, so we talk about chapters being all over the world. How many members are part of OWASP and how many chapters do we have?
Oh, I didn't come
We're prepared for that one. Okay, I'm sorry, I put you on the spot.
there are hundreds of, actually thousands of members and chapters. Again, they are worldwide. We've got them everywhere. I don't have the number. It's actually a fluid number, so it would be a snapshot. in time because they're opening all over the place as OWASP name recognition grows and people come up with the needed time in their personal lives to run the chapters.
Sure.
You know, we've had a few that have closed because, you know, it's hard making that commitment. You're well aware of that yourself.
Yeah.
How that works, right? The time that it takes. You know, OWASP is pretty much the most important and influential organization out there influencing secure code and secure code frameworks. And it's essential, really, moving forward for any company that's involved in this at all. We'd like to use the term software security more than just web application.
Sure.
We've become more of an acronym now because software, you know, coding is in everything. It's in all our hardware. It's in IoT. IoT is the next great vulnerable frontier that's going to be a very dangerous place to live in. And OWASP can assist with that. There's a mobile standard checklist for coding for mobile devices. And so OWASP it's got itself in the middle of anything that has software.
So you make some good points there. So, you know, we know the number one most significant risk or threat to the organization is humans. I've always advocated that number two is software. Nothing communicates, software communicates with other software, and you need an operating system, you need applications, you need many applications or applets to, you know, for applications to talk amongst them each other, and humans are the ones who develop the code. So in my opinion, it's always been the close second. So you talked about, you know, OWASP offers different types of training. So if I'm an application developer, a software developer, and I want to get, I want to distinguish myself away from my peers or someone else that maybe not doing, you know, application development securely. How does the training, is there a OWASP credential? What type of training can I get that I can use to differentiate myself against others that might be, you know, my peers in the industry?
You've raised a topic that's a very popular discussion in our industry, in the OWASP and software development community, because there isn't one. There isn't that certification. There is a couple of certifications out there that deal with, you know, software security, but there's nothing that's got the name and reputation such as a CISSP or CSA would have or anything of that nature. But if people go to OWASP.org, they can learn a lot more about us. The trainings that are at the conferences are typically the most price efficient for companies, right? Because at conferences, it's different. You're gathering a whole bunch of people already, and you've got a bunch of trainers that want to come in and attend that. But if not, there are a lot of people out there that can provide really, really good training. I don't want to mention any names and shun some others in the short time we have, but there's quite a bit out there. Again, a really good way for developers to get started is to look for the local chapter meetings, right? There's nothing like talking to others and having the time. We're kind of squeezed in here with time and I'm only one person, but the meetings you can have, you know, and I don't know about, you know, in Colorado Springs, but in Los Angeles, we'll have, you know, 50 to 80 people attending a meeting. That's a lot of people you can talk to.
That's a lot, yeah.
Interestingly enough, my experiences with developers, they're kind of up against it because before I say this, it is improving, but the education that developers get, coding and school and college, is lacking in security. It tells you how to write code. It tells you how to solve problems, how to use libraries, but it doesn't necessarily tell you how to do it securely, right? And there's many ways you can address things, and you can address it in a secure fashion, and it won't cost any more time, effort, or money. You just have to have that knowledge of what to plug in and what to stay clear of, right? But they don't have it. But yet, they want it. Almost every developer I've ever spoken to wants to have their stuff secure, right? And so one piece of advice I can give you out there is, if you're in the security field and you're talking to the development team at where you work, see which of the developers' eyes light up the most when you start talking about security, and see if you can draft a couple of people to become your security champions within the application development area. And most companies are able to find those people because, again, they recognize, hey, I didn't really learn it the right way from school. My degree, I'm a great coder. I just don't know how to do it securely, right? They want to. They have that passion because they care. You know, look, we've heard the stories, don't insult someone's code. It's their baby, right? They want their baby to be secure. It's just a natural instinct. So then, you know, the fights that you might hear about are when security isn't baked in and they come to security at the last minute and said, approve this, we got to put this out. And security says, well, hold on, I got to do these assessments, and it slows down the process.
Right.
That's when they get stressed because they're being evaluated on how quickly they can get this stuff out there. But that's a broken system. That's got nothing to do with the individual concepts and mindsets of developers who really care. And so you've got a golden opportunity to work with a few of them and get them involved in the security, and OWASP is probably the best way to do that.
Yeah, and I think you're right on point there. It's one of those messages. It's a great organization, and it advocates for developers and organizations that have developers that need that guidance and all these different projects that are available to help a developer get there. That contribution is significant as well. You know, it's just been a short time, Rich, and you know, we're at the end of our half hour. But any parting thoughts? We really appreciate your contributions. What are your parting thoughts over the next minute?
Well, I'll just share that I just read that the House voted on reauthorization of some security surveillance authorities, including FISA. So that's pretty important. One of the things that it addresses is the collection of cell phone site location. It's now continuing that ban. All right, and it requires the government to notify individuals if they plan to use the information collected. So none of this is super important, but it does represent at least something that the government's trying to do. A word of caution, if you want a piece of advice, don't look for government and regulations to help build your security program, right? That basically is just for show, and it's the bare minimum, and you better be doing a hell of a lot more than any legislative thing that's come up in either house. You've got to do a good security program, and if you do it right, you'll meet pretty much any regulation. Right.
Yeah, it will not just mature, but it should be documented. And that's when you demonstrate a level of security. This has been a great discussion. We've been talking with Rich from Security Advisors LLC, Rich Greenberg, all the way out from Los Angeles, talking about ISSA and more importantly for this specific discussion, the contributions that are out there, his work with OWASP on the international board and within his own chapter. Rich, great talking with you for this last half hour. Thanks for contributing to the podcast, and best of luck out there to you.
Thank you, and I do appreciate it. Being invited by you onto this podcast has been an honor for me. I love what you've been doing. Continue. Keep up the good work, my friend.
All right. You as well. Thanks again.
Thank you for listening to New Cyber Frontier. Remember to follow or like our post and circulate each new show to your networks. We keep you informed, bring you the latest news, explore new trends, and find the hottest topics. With New Cyber Frontier, you don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert. Just get plugged in. We encourage you to get involved. Tell us what topics interest you and join our mailing lists. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. That's newcyberfrontier.com. Check out our previous interviews and please let us know if there are any topics that you would like to hear discussed. See you next time on New Cyber Frontier.